Good morning. I am Jolene Wolfley, Chair of the Development Review Board. We will begin the July 14th meeting of the Development Review Board. This is a remote or online meeting where all participants will be on video or audio conference. We are conducting this meeting remotely so that everyone can participate safely while we remain under a public health emergency. Please keep your audio on mute and your video off when you are not involved in the case being heard. Please also note that we are recording the audio of this meeting. Since it is audio only, it will be important that you give your name each time before you begin your remarks. We will use the chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item we are on. We have a pretty lengthy agenda today, so it is important that you watch for the chat to let you know when your case will be coming up. The chat will also let you ask a question of our moderators, which are Maggie Gould and Jay Rodenbeck. We want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record and subject to the Inspection of Public Records Act. Please keep your chat comments relevant to the meeting. I would now like the DRB members to introduce themselves.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Vince Montano, Code Enforcement.
Good morning. This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with the Parks and Recreation Department.
And Hydrology.
Renee Brissett, Hydrology.
Jeanne Wolfenbarger with Transportation.
And again, I'm Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair. So we're grateful to have Mr. Montano and Ms. Brissett with us today. Taking place of other DRB members who are not here today. Our first order of business is to suspend the rules of the DRB to one, accommodate a virtual or remote meeting of the Development Review Board through Zoom, and two, allow DRB members to provide electronic signatures for some approved plats and plans after the meeting rather than during the meeting. Is there a motion to suspend the rules for this purpose?
And Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Summerfield,
Parks and Rec,
seconds.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Vincent Montano, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Gerald Summerfield, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Renee Brissett, Hydrology, I approve.
Jeanne Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to suspend the rules to allow for this Zoom meeting and electronic signatures after the meeting. A note for our applicants. Once again, I just want to remind people, all of our agents and new people, that we do have specific notice forms on the DRB website that you must use. Those are kind of like fill in the blank forms, and they provide a fair amount of detail for those who will receive the notice about what your application is about. So make sure you use the ones on the DRB website, not from the EPC. And we still are getting, even from some of you that are experienced, we're still getting the wrong notice forms, and that could hold up your case. If you have any questions, please check with our staff. Also, those DRB members who are privy of your site plan plat or infrastructure list today will electronically sign those documents at the end of the meeting, or some will be following the meeting. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck routes documents through the DRB members once the applicant has submitted a final PDF that includes all of their utility signatures. This is the quickest path to get signatures completed. Then the applicants will receive an email copy of the signed document. If you're approved with delegation, you will need to complete delegation items with the appropriate DRB members and then send PDFs to Mr. Rodenbeck to get electronic signatures. We still are doing most of our signatures electronically, but we are in the office. And so if for some reason there have been one set of plans that have been signed on a Mylar, so that is still an option if that's the way you need to go. Okay, Ms. Angela Gomez is our hearing monitor. Ms. Gomez, will you alert us to changes in the agenda? And there are quite a few.
Yes, for item number 4, PR 2018-1579, application SI-2021-304 for site plan, and application SI-2021-305 for site plan amendment. The agent has requested a deferral to July 21st.
Okay, is there a motion to defer item 4 to July 21st?
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Joe Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, second.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Vincent Montano, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Joe Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Renee Brissett, Hydrology, I approve.
Dean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 4, PR 2018-1579, Site Plan 2021-304, and Site Plan Amendment 2021-305 to the July 21st meeting of the DRB, and that's at 2100 Louisiana. Ms. Gomez.
For item number 5, PR 2021-5508, application SI-2021-809 for site plan. The agent has requested a deferral to July 28th.
Okay, is there a motion to defer item 5 to July 28th?
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
They believe that even though they've been billed for our system.
Vince Montano, Code Enforcement, second.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Yeah, Vince Montano, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Renee Brissett, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote to defer item 5, PR 2021-5508, Site Plan 2021-809 at 9261 Coors Boulevard to July 28th. Ms. Gomez.
For item number 7, PR 2021-5009, application SD-2021-91 for preliminary and final plat. The agent has requested a deferral to August 4th.
Okay, and this is at the northeast corner of Coors Boulevard and Fortuna. Is there a motion to defer item 7 to August 4th?
Lynn Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Bill Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Lynn Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Vincent Montano, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Joe Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Renee Brissett, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 7, PR 2021-5009, preliminary final plat 2021-91 to August 4th. Ms. Gomez.
And for item number 8, PR 2020-4640, application SD-2021-113 for preliminary and final plat, and applications SD-2021-114 and SD-2021-115, both for vacations of public easement. The agent has requested a deferral to July 21st.
Okay, and this is at 4595 and 4601 San Mateo Boulevard Northeast. Is there a motion to defer item 8 to July 21st?
Lynn Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Joe Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, seconds.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Vincent Montano, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Renee Brissett, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 8, PR 2020-4640, preliminary final plat 2021-113. Two vacation of public easements, 2021-114 and 115. That's all deferred to July 21st. Okay, Ms. Gomez, anything else?
That's all I have this morning.
Okay, thank you. So you can see that the first part of our agenda is mostly affected. Please also note that item 2 was previously deferred. That is on University Boulevard and Bobby Foster, so we won't be hearing that until or reviewing that until July 28th. Okay. We have our agenda set. I just want to inform any members of the public that are here to speak on a certain case that I will call for public speakers when we go case by case and give you instructions on how to weigh in that you want to speak on a particular case. If there are any technical issues this morning, I will end the meeting and DRB will resume at 1 p.m. today using the same Zoom link and phone number. As we begin, I will read a statement regarding the purpose of the Development Review Board. The DRB was created in 1982 to offer efficient considerations of technical standards. The DRB streamlines the application process by bringing together key department staff responsible for the specialized review of projects in a forum where staff and applicant meet to discuss projects and the public can ask questions and share input for those decisions. In 2017, the IDEA was adopted and increased the scope of site plans being reviewed by the DRB and thus increased due process requirements. The DRB staff members apply the standards and requirements in the Integrated Development Ordinance and the Development Process Manual. And I would like to introduce our DRB staff and other staff that will be working with us today. Ms. Maggie Gould is the Development Services Manager. Ms. Gould, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Maggie Gould, and yes, I do.
Mr. Jay Rodenbeck is Senior Planner to the DRB. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Yes, I do.
Mr. Shahab Biazar is the City Engineer. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Shahapi Azar, I do.
And Nicole Sanchez is legal counsel to the DRB.
Morning.
Thank you, Ms. Sanchez. Okay, we're now ready to begin our agenda, and we will start with item one, which is PR 2018-1991, preliminary plat 2021-118, final plat 2021-119. Temporary deferral of sidewalk VA 2021-235. This is for PV Vibrato LLC, and the location is Woodmont Avenue between Rainbow and Paseo del Norte. And the agent is Consensus Planning. Okay, go ahead and introduce yourself, Mr. Voss, with your address.
Yes, Michael Voss, Senior Planner with Consensus Planning, 302 8th Street Northwest, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87102.
Mr. Voss, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. Please go ahead and give us an overview.
And if you don't mind, Scott Steffen with Priceline Development is on the call. And
oh, great.
Might as well quick swear him in.
Yes. Mr. Steffen, if you can speak up, then your tile pops up.
Yes, this is Scott Steffen with Priceline Development Group. We're the agent for PV Trails. Our address is 303 Roman Northwest, Suite 110, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87102.
Good morning, Mr. Steffen. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
This is Scott Steffen. Yes, I do.
Okay. All right, gentlemen, go ahead.
Great, thanks. Again, this is Michael Voss with Consensus Planning. This application is for a preliminary plat, and we're simultaneously asking for the final plat approval for Via Prado Unit 5. This application was the platting for Units 4 and 5 were originally approved in 2019, and a final plat was approved and recorded for Unit 4 in 2020. It was discovered when Scott was moving forward with the DRC plans for Unit 5 that plat had expired, that the preliminary plat expired around this time that the final plat for Unit 4 was done, and an extension had not been requested. So we're essentially asking for reapproval of the preliminary plat for this subdivision, and then the final because the previous preliminary plat expired, the infrastructure list that was with it also expired and is no longer valid. So there's a new infrastructure list that's just for Unit 5 as Unit 4's infrastructure has been built. And then also requesting temporary deferral of sidewalks within the subdivision and the final plat approval. We understand that final plat approval, we cannot get the final signature until Scott is able to move ahead and process the IIA for the infrastructure list. With that, we're happy to go through the comments and answer any questions that the board has.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Voss. That was very helpful. And I guess we'll just go through those comments one by one. Let me turn to the room and see if there's any member of the public that wishes to speak on item one. You can raise your hand by pressing star 9 or at the bottom of your screen. If you hover your cursor down there, there's a smiley face reactions button. If you press on that, there's a couple ways you can have a hand go up, or you can just raise your hand by turning your audio on and we'll look for you. So these instructions go as we go throughout the case to anyone who's wanting to speak up. Okay, and I see a couple people are trying to connect, but not yet connected. And one of those people looks to be, all right. So once again, I'm trying to find if there's any member of the public that wishes to speak on item one at Woodmont Avenue between Rainbow and Paseo. Okay. Go ahead and identify yourself.
Yeah, so I might have been the person trying to get in on Zoom and I'm having trouble with Zoom. Okay. So this is Joshua Butler. And I'm the vibe. Go ahead.
Please continue introducing yourself with your address.
Okay. My address is 7316 2 Rock Road Northwest, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87114.
Okay. Mr. Butler, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And I think you were mentioning your role with the neighborhood. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, I am the Valle Prado Neighborhood Association president.
Okay. Go ahead with your comment, sir.
Okay. So this is my comment. And I apologize for not bringing it up earlier. And also, I realize the situation they're in with a preliminary plat that's kind of already been approved and looking for approval of the final plat. One of the things that I've noticed and that I've actually been working through very recently in fullness and been reaching out to Ernest Armijo about in hydrology is that in Unit 4, some of the drainage issues on the sides of the houses are exacerbated due to the slope that's allowed, due to the grading that's allowed. So on page 75 of the application that the consensus planning submitted for this, you can see the hydrology plans. And one of the issues is that the way they specified is that on both sides of a property line between houses, you're supposed to have a drainage swale. And that drainage swale is supposed to be basically separated at the property line by a crown or by a wall of some kind. One of the things that I'm noticing in Unit 4 is that because the hydrology plan allows for basically a 25% grade or 4-to-1 slope on those side yards, it's not really possible to make two drainage swales. And so instead what ends up happening is you get one drainage swale at the lower house and all the water from the upper house seems to drain into that lower swale. This is a concern to me just because I'm afraid that water in really heavy rainstorms is going to basically sweep down from the top house, the one that's at a higher grade, and run into the lower grade house area and potentially cause property damage. The other issue I'm concerned about, I know that hydrology, you know, and there are other places where a 4-to-1 slope is probably a good thing where you don't want people walking on it all the time. But in the side yards, the slope is so steep that it's very, very difficult to actually access the water spigot, to access the back gate, and some things like that. And so that's the concern that I'm seeing there because of the 4-to-1 slope that's being allowed. So that's what I basically wanted to bring up. I noticed that was the case as well in Unit 5, it was specified the same way. And that's one of the concerns that I have with going forward now that I've kind of seen how it works out in Unit 4.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Butler. I'm gonna have a question for you a little bit later, but let's go ahead and have the applicant team address your questions about the you're saying it's a 4-to-1 slope. And let's go ahead and have that someone from the applicant team address that.
Yes, Ms. Wolfley, this is Scott Steffen with Priceline Development. I will address that. So the 4-to-1 slope is a maximum slope allowed on the grading plan to make it work. So this issue was brought to my attention at about 5:30 yesterday afternoon. Ernest Armijo forwarded an email from Mr. Butler to Bohannon Houston, who is the engineer of record, and they reached out to me. So Bohannon Houston did a grading and drainage certification. At the time of mass grading of the subdivision, the swales were in. And then what happens with home construction is, they go in, they build the house, they build side yard walls, and then they fine grade the front yards, landscape them, and then anything in front of the privacy wall and the side yards, they also fine grade and landscape as well. We will reach out to the home builder, which is the same. It's Hakes Brothers built Unit 4. They are also under contract to purchase the lots in Unit 5. We will reach out to them to talk to them about Mr. Butler's concerns about them not trying to maintain those swales and or build a wall to control the flow on the upper lot so that it does not encroach onto the lower lot.
Doc, can I ask you a clarifying question?
Sure, Josh.
Whose responsibility is it to put the walls in between the houses? Is that the developers or is that Hakes Brothers?
So if there is a grade, this is Scott Steffen, if there's a retaining wall shown on the grading plan, that is the developer's responsibility, and it would only be the retaining wall. Any type of privacy wall or any type of wall that would be deemed necessary from a grading perspective that is not a retaining wall would be the responsibility of the home builder.
Okay, that's good clarification.
And Mr. Butler, just remember to identify yourself each time you speak because the audio is just going to have voices. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Josh Butler, and that's good clarification. I appreciate that, Scott.
This is Scott. You're welcome.
Okay, Ms. Brissett, do you have anything you'd like to add to this piece of the discussion?
Well, like I said, I talked to Ernest this morning. We were discussing this, and he mentioned he had sent the information over to BHI, who obviously afforded on to Scott Steffen. So it's, unfortunately, the final grades when BHI does grade, when they certify it and we accept the certification, there is nothing on there except for an overall grading of the site. And then the home builder comes in, just like Steffen mentioned, and then they build their houses and do the landscaping and stuff. And it's the home builder's basically responsibility for any of the fine grading to be done on the house.
Okay, thank you. While we've caught Mr. Butler up, I'm going to first go to Mr. Voss or Mr. Steffen. In the planning comments, I had some questions about the open space tracks and who's taking responsibility for having those put in a final condition for the community before the homeowners association would take over maintenance responsibilities. And I've just kind of asked you to help outline like what those look like now and kind of go ahead with that if you would.
Yeah, this is Michael Voss, and Scott might follow up after me. But the open space tract sort of northwest of this subdivision is in sort of an interim condition. It catches some existing drainage flows, but it is not going to be fully developed in terms of the drainage ponding that's anticipated there until the development of tracks 4 and 5, which are located farther to the on the north side of it, the RML properties. And the future trail that will be built within that open space track, its alignment is somewhat dependent on the sizing of those future drainage ponds that will be designed with that unit or the tract for development plan. So at this point in time, there's no real immediate plan to make more improvements to the open space because it's dependent on a development that is not yet designed or coming forward yet.
Okay, who owns that land? Is it the same Valle Prado LLC?
This is Scott Steffen. Actually, the open space tracts are owned by the Trails Community Association, or the HOA.
I'm asking about the land to the north.
Oh, the lands to the north are owned by the same entity that is the owner on Valle Prado.
Okay. So what is the condition? So are you saying that you're going to be putting in a pond that you may be expanding in the future based on what is developed on the RML track?
This is Scott Steffen. That is correct. So what we will be installing with Valle Prado is a pond sized adequately to intercept undeveloped flows off the RML track to prevent them from damaging the Valle Prado 5 lots. And then when the RML property develops, that pond will get sized to the ultimate condition necessary to serve that property, and then also to interconnect with a series of ponds that kind of trend to the northeast that are part of the Trails Drainage Master Plan. And all those will be interconnected with storm drain for the Trails Master Plan. And it's really dependent on the ultimate design development of the RML track.
Okay, and what is the timeline for developing the RML track?
Currently, we don't have any timeline. The owner is actively marketing the property. We have done some very preliminary engineering to try to get a handle on the how the flows would come into this pond that's adjacent to Valle Prado 5 so we can size it. And that work is ongoing, but probably won't be complete for another 4 or 5 months.
Okay, thank you. Let me turn back to Mr. Buettler. This is Chair Wolfley. Can you discuss what kind of agreements that you and PV Valle Prado have developed with regard to these open space tracks for interim conditions or final conditions, like at what stage you are going to assume the maintenance responsibility?
This is Joshua Buettler. I think you might have me confused with the Trails HOA. And so the Trails HOA, I believe, is at some point responsible for assuming the maintenance of these areas. But I am not certain when that time would happen and when it would begin. That would probably be a question for a member of the Trails HOA, if there's anyone on the line.
Okay, and you're a subset of the Trails HOA?
This is Joshua Buettler, and I'm not a member of the Trails HOA. We are within the Trails HOA, but we are a neighborhood association.
Okay. So what I want to avoid is that we don't have clear responsibility for what the condition of these open space tracts will be.
So this is Joshua Butler, and I would be happy to reach out to a member of the Trails HOA and maybe get several of them on a phone call or even in a meeting like this, where we could potentially discuss that between consensus planning, Priceline Development, PV, BioProto, and then also the Trails HOA, if that would be agreeable to you.
Madam, Scott Steffen with Priceline Development Group. So as an example, there were a number of common area or HOA tracts associated with the BioProto Unit 4 development. And the process that we just went through with that to turn them over to the HOA. So HomeCo is the HOA management firm, and we worked with them. We conducted a couple of walks on those properties once all the landscaping irrigation was complete, developed a punch list, addressed the punch list, and then the HomeCo representative, their project manager, went back out, made sure we addressed everything, and then said, we're good to accept maintenance of ownership and maintenance of those HOA tracts. And then we executed a special warranty deed transferring ownership of those. The open space tracts will operate slightly different because they're already owned by the Trails Community Association. But I would envision that as we get in there and do the final development of the properties, the RML properties kind of to the northwest of the spine open space track, we would follow the same procedure that we would go in, do the pond work, do any of the stabilization, revegetation, landscaping, the trail, and then we would do a final walk with the homeowners association to turn over the maintenance of the trail and the landscaping and the ponds to the HOA.
Okay, and then what measures are you taking to protect the open space tracts with the native vegetation that's there now? I know it's kind of tricky when you are looking at ponds and there is, you know, the native vegetation, which takes quite a few generations to regenerate. So what are you doing to kind of balance protection of what's already there now, especially given that construction is going on in the area?
Sure. This is Scott Steffen. So there are two ponds in what's known as Tract OS2, and those were previously graded by the previous owner of the property, Woodmont Paseo LLC, at the time that they developed BioProto units 1 through 3. They actually removed the dirt in those future pond locations, got down to the basalt rock, and they used that overburden material in the development of those subdivisions. So there is some disturbance within the open space tracts to date. Where that NRPOC designation is on the exhibit.
There's Mr. Steffen, can you pause 1 second? Mr. Yeah. Rodenbeck, do you have, let me share because I have it up. If you can stop sharing, I want to share an exhibit Mr. Voss provided that's really helpful in this discussion.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I have that pulled. I believe everything that Mr. Voss sent.
Okay. So it has the rock outcroppings. It's called the Trails Unit 3A rock outcroppings. If you could put that up.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. It should be up now.
Okay. And if you'll just maximize it. Okay. So Mr. Stephan, this will give you kind of a better visual to, as you're talking about where these ponds are and what's been disturbed, if you can use this map to guide us.
Yes. This is Scott Stephan again. So you can see the tract OS2, and starting at Woodmont and kind of going northeast, you can see the lighter colored earth that's adjacent to Via Prado Unit 5. That is the area, one of the areas that was disturbed previously. And then if you go up to kind of narrow area just above where it says tract OS2, you can see lighter area on the backside of the existing houses, which is Via Prado Unit 3. And so that was graded too. That's a future pond per the trails drainage master plan. So you can see the level of existing disturbance. There are some, for lack of a better term, dirt trails through the open space that have been there for quite some time before the development of Via Prado Units 4 and 5 by PV Via Prado. But the main point is to identify that large rock outcropping that kind of sits in that bump out area adjacent to Via Prado Unit 5. So there is, and I need to confirm this, I know at one time we had silt fence adjacent to it, and I will confirm that there is silt fence on that property line between the Via Prado Unit 5 tract and the OS2 open space tract to prevent the contractor from going into tract OS2. Now, when we get into developing what is known as tract 4, that's the RML tract, and that's roughly a 30-acre parcel that's adjacent to both of those ponds, and both those ponds are necessary for drainage of tract 4. You know, we will go in and make sure we do future protection to keep that large rock outcropping, you know, protected from encroachment from any contractor, whoever the contractor may be, doing the work on the ponds.
Okay, thank you, sir. And so it sounds like, and I think on your infrastructure list you show this, this is Chair Wolfley again, that you're going to be doing some stabilization work on this pond that's part of Unit 5, but that in the future there might be some additional grading of the area to make the ponds bigger. Is that correct?
This is Scott Stephan. Yes, that is correct. And then when we expand that, obviously, you know, on that tract 4 infrastructure list, I'm assuming we would have the same notes about stabilization and you know, revegetation, etc.
Okay, yeah, and it's just going to be really important that when with the construction mitigation that it's really clear to the contractors, you know, you probably have one set of contractors that need to be in the open space, but then you'll have a lot of contractors subsequently that need to make sure they're staying out of that area. So that, I guess what I'm saying is we'd like to obviously allow work to be done for the ponds, but we don't want that to become a construction area for everyone to be moving throughout if they're doing street construction or home construction or whatever. As much of the natural basalt and vegetation that can be left alone because it's not part of the drainage pond, that's the kind of balancing act that we'd like to see you do.
This is Scott Seth. I fully agree. that we do not want to disturb anything outside of the footprint of the pond in that open space. That native vegetation has a nice look and feel for the community, and we want to preserve that as we move forward with the development of these properties.
Right, and I appreciate that, Mr. Stephan, because it really does have economic value for your subdivision. And so partnering on that concept is great. Okay, let's go ahead and go now to, or let me ask, is there any other member of the public that wishes to speak on item one that I may not have called up yet? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. Let's go to Water Authority for comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. Good morning, Michael and Scott. For the record, we do have a development agreement for this project. It is 19-16 resolution, and that associated with serviceability letter 190114. Those are both still active, ongoing, and valid for this current proposal. We had some comments that were issued about a week and a half ago. Those have since been resolved regarding the infrastructure list. There was a note added, and there was a note added to the plat. Basically, we have some master plan infrastructure construction that's gone ongoing, and we need to have that finished. And so that's the notes and the infrastructure list note is basically to reference those, and those have been completed by the applicant. So at this time, we have no adverse comments and are moving forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Code enforcement.
Good morning, Vince Batania, code enforcement. Code enforcement has no comments or objections, just a general note that the subdivision of land is to abide by section 5.4 of the IDO.
Okay, thank you. Parks and Recreation.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation Department. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was having some issues earlier, so I missed Mr. Voss's introduction. I was frozen at that time, so I'm sorry if any of this was covered. So we just had three things on our comments, and the revegetation of the drainage area on the infrastructure list appears that was added and maybe will be discussed further with planning and protection of the rock outcropping sensitive lands feature. And then the first point covered the trails, and there are many plans that show the trail being located in that space. And also the 10-minute walk goal would be accommodated through that trail. So I guess the concern from the Parks Department is, you know, the timing of that trail. And it sounds from the discussions that you've been having that you really have no idea of when you are going to put the trail in. And I'm wondering if, you know, if there's some way we can add that to, you know, the notice of decision or something, because I know that you mentioned some of this before, but once that parcel to the north, the RML parcel, is owned by the same owners as this parcel, and once they develop, then you would put the trail in, or and if you could talk maybe more about like when the expected timing is.
This is Michael Voss with Consensus Planning. Thanks, Cheryl, for that comment. In my introduction, in responding to the my initial response about the open space tract was similar to an email we exchanged about a week or two ago about the timing of that needing to, you know, the alignment is dependent on the pond sizing, which we'll know with development of tract 4. So Scott can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the assumption would be that the trail would go on the infrastructure list or could go on the infrastructure list for the development of that RML tract 4. And the timing of that, as Scott mentioned, you know, they're actively marketing it. You know, we don't know when that's going to come forward at this time, but I don't think it makes sense to put the trail on the infrastructure list for this Via Prado 5 subdivision. if, you know, it doesn't make sense to build the trail out only to have to rip out parts of it and realign it and things like that, if depending on the engineering that's necessary for the ponds in the future.
This is Cheryl Smurfoot with Parks and Rec. I did want to ask planning, you know, would that be something we could put in the notice of the decision as, you know, it would be a responsibility for the future track that's also with the same owner?
This is Chair Wolfley. We could put a finding as such. And Mr. Rodenbeck, do you have something that shows, it seemed like we had earlier, something that showed the RML track and its area?
Madam Chair, this is Jay Rodenbeck. Are you referring to the bulk land plat that we looked at yesterday?
It seemed like just today there was an exhibit up that just showed greater context for the, that helps. That one actually helps. So what I'm seeing, Mr. Stefan and Mr. Voss, is that this Tract 4 would cover the entire distance of the trail on the south side. And so what I'd like to see, and that would make some sense to put the trail in for that like entire distance with better understanding, like you said, of what the ponds will look like and et cetera. Is that a finding that we can then put onto this NOD that the trail would be established with the development of Tract 4 and noticing that the entire distance that Tract 4 covers? Is that your intention, I guess?
This is Michael Voss. That seems like an appropriate finding to me. I would defer to Scott as the owner's representative to agree to that.
This is Scott Stefan. I think it'd be acceptable to indicate that the trail within Tract OS 2 would be constructed with the development of Tract 4 as a finding for the Bioprado Unit 5 project.
Okay, thank you. And then what we're talking about the rock outcropping, Jay, Would you zoom into the big purple blob there? And then I'm going to have you go somewhere else after that.
This is Jay Rodenbeck on Tract OS2.
Yes. Okay, so this is an incredibly nice feature in this area. The platting around it kind of, you know, cuts a little close to the toe of that rock outcropping, especially along that southwest side. And now if you can bring up the actual plat that is proposed for this. And this was something that we had in planning comments, and I just think this might be a good time to look at it. And if you can zoom in on that polygon, zoom in around Tract F. Okay, so what's particularly nice here is that backyards are not along that rock outcropping, but rather there's a street which fits within. I know this is a major public open space, but the concept that some of these features are enjoyed by the community because there's a single loaded street adjacent to it. And then you have Tract F, which further improves that condition for that amount of space. And then as we go to lot 16, and 15, in our planning comments, we had just suggested perhaps looking at extending Tract F a little bit more in some way to greater improve the the, I guess you would call it, I guess the toe of the rock outcropping, because that line kind of cuts right at the toe. Were you able to consider that, or did you understand the comments we sent in to look at maybe if lot 16 or 15 could be adjusted in any way to elongate tract F, or even add a triangulation off of tract F toward the toe of the slope, just to maybe improve that quite a bit? And I'm not sure how valuable that piece of land is to lot 16, but anyhow, what did you explore with regard to our comments on that?
Yeah, so this is Michael Voss with Consensus Planning. We, Scott and I talked about this a little bit, and we maybe didn't explore any real specifics. If just like, if the front property line at lot 16 at the corner, it still was, because we have to deal with what the IDO requirements are for lot width under the zoning. But if whether or not a little bit of a triangle could be cut out and added to tract F, I guess I'd defer to Scott on that feasibility as it relates to pad site for the future home. But this plat is based on an approved site plan. And so, and that site plan shows this lot configuration and layout as shown on this plat. So, you know, I think it seems like any change to that may require an amendment to that site plan. So we were trying to stick to that previous approval, you know, working within that framework.
This is Scott Steffen. So I looked at a couple of things. One, you asked about, I think, kind of rotating the lot 15, 16 common side yard, so it was more radial, kind of like you'd have around a cul-de-sac. And I looked at that, and that doesn't work because it causes problems with available pad depth to build product out there. I did not look at possibly, for example, you can see there's that measurement that says 35.36 feet, and then next to it is another tangent that is 17.61 along the frontage. So we have roughly, you know, 53 feet of frontage there on lot 16. Could we reduce that by 10 feet, possibly even go to that, the point between the 35.36 and the 17.61, and then kind of go up to intersect the, if you will, the northeast property line of lot 16 that's adjacent to the toe of the rock outcropping. I think we could look at it. I'm not knowledgeable enough on the IDO about the minimum frontage I would need on that based on the R1B zoning. But I would be willing to look at that. And if you'd be willing, if we don't need to amend a site plan for that minor change, and then if you could take delegation while we, I can have the surveyor kind of rework that if you think it's feasible. You know, I'd be willing to entertain that for sure. Because okay. We need is driveway access, and that lot will have a pretty long driveway. So I think we could accommodate it as long as we're in compliance with, you know, the IDO minimum lot frontage.
Okay. Thank you very much for that willingness. I think that could help. Because one of the things is the sensitive lands analysis and just making sure that we are providing as much buffer to that rock outcropping as possible. And that could be a slight improvement there. Okay, let's keep going on. Let's go to code enforcement for comment. Or I'm sorry, we did parks. Let's go to hydrology.
Yep. Renee Brissett, hydrology. Hydrology has an improved revised grading plan with a date of 8/20/19.
We just need you to add the note. This is something that we've been starting maybe about a month ago on the infrastructure list. Put in there that pond slopes shall be stabilized with native grass seed with aggregate mulch or equal, and it must satisfy the final stabilization criteria, CGP 2.2.14.B.
Thanks, Renee. This is Michael, and I apologize for not sending this to you. I sent it to Ernest.
Well, that's okay.
But we did add that note to the infrastructure okay. list.
Perfect.
Okay. And thank you very much, Mr. Voss, for doing that. And I saw that this morning and appreciate that. And Ms. Brissett, I know Mr. Armijo told me that you all would be working on looking at the master drainage plan. Some of this was coming in piecemeal and you wanted to make sure you looked at the overall drainage. Can you report on that?
I mentioned this to BHI when they just came back in for the apartment complex, that the overall master drainage plan for the, the trails, yes. It was done, revised back in 2014. And then there was part of it that was updated in 2017. But this whole section with all the ponds and the integrated pipe system hasn't yet to be updated and integrated as a updated master drainage plan for the whole area. We were talking and I really want to see that prior to that tract 4 development when it comes in. I want an updated master drainage plan that shows all the ponds, all the pipes, and the XP swim model, which was done on the other section as well.
Okay, any questions on that?
This is Scott Steffen. Renee, I spoke with BHI this morning and we are trying to get together either the end of this week or early part of next week to kick them off on that analysis of all the pond system in this portion of the trails. So we're starting to work on that and that we'll get that done before we come in with any development on track 4.
Yeah, like I said, I know I was talking to BHI about that because, you know, I was with that apartment complex. You know, there was a couple ponds that in another one, they had different numbers and different labels. And then, you know, and that's sort of, you know, I just want to make sure everything's all together.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Brissett. Let's go to transportation.
Good morning. This is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. Transportation approves the sidewalk deferral as shown in the exhibit. And, per yesterday, it looks as though all of my comments have been addressed with the addition of the new updated TIS form, and as well as the administrative request for a width waiver on both the street and the sidewalk to match what's shown in the rest of the subdivision. And so transportation doesn't have any further comment on the plat or the infrastructure list.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wolfenberger. So we need to take a pause here, bring in Ms. Gould. What's a little tricky here is that your plat expired and the requirements on sidewalk widths changed in the interim. And so generally when there's a new area and they have are you doing a narrower width of street or sidewalk, then it requires a specific application for a DRB waiver. And what I hear Ms. Wolfenberger saying, which is true, is that your streets are extending and your sidewalks are extending from unit 4, which is kind of somewhere in the middle of our experience. And so Ms. Gould, do you have any thoughts on this?
This is Maggie Gould. So what we've been doing
is an administrative waiver for existing sidewalks and a DRB waiver for cases where there are new sidewalks. Like you just said, this is sort of a funny hybrid. And so I think, I don't know if this is a question for transportation or if this is something that we need to discuss internally. The continuation of the sidewalks either needs to, like the new sidewalks either need to match the existing or we need some kind of a transition. And I think if this is something that maybe needs to be a staff discussion.
So this is Michael Voss. If I can weigh in on this, and I will forward to Maggie and Jay what Scott submitted to Jean as a rationale for the administrative waiver. But I would add that just as I mentioned about the lot layout earlier, this is part of an approved site plan that shows roadways with widths and a continuous sidewalk throughout the subdivision that was built or designed as a 4-foot sidewalk. So I think in this specific case, I think that the city and the DRB, that it would be appropriate to approve it under the old standard that it could, because the site plan is still valid for this property for several more years and was approved under the originally under those previous design standards, and we are compliant with them.
Okay. Ms. Sanchez, do you have any comments on this? Because it seems like we're kind of in a process area that is slightly gray. And I just want to make sure that we do this appropriately for the applicant, that we get the approval process right. Let's see.
This is Nicole. Can you repeat the process question?
Okay. So, So we have DRB DPM standards for sidewalk width, and I think street width is also at play, correct, Ms. Wolfenberger?
Correct. The right of way width and the sidewalk width specifically in this case.
Okay. So, there is an existing condition, like in a developed part of the city, and the sidewalk and road are in place, and the applicant wants to request a waiver of the new requirements. DRB has processed those administratively. In areas where there's new construction, where items have not been built, DRB is requiring the waiver process through the IDO since nothing has been built yet. So if they want to have a narrower right-of-way or a narrower street than the DPM, they go through that waiver process. In this case, the plat was divided into two units, and unit 4 completed on the south, and then to the north, this piece of the final plat expired. So technically they're coming back in to reapply, but they are continuing the streets and the sidewalks that are part of sort of the same subdivision to the south. So there's in a kind of a gray area because they are new construction, but they are extending roads and sidewalks of the unit that has already been built.
This is Maggie Golden. I think the other thing,
do they need to just 1 second and then I'll turn to Ms. Okay. Gold. So the question is, do they need to have a formal DRB waiver that they apply for because they're new construction, or could they be considered an administrative waiver because they are extending from existing conditions that was part of this same subdivision? And Ms. Gould.
This is Maggie Gould. And then the other part of it is what Mr. Voss just brought up about a previously approved site plan
that shows those sidewalk widths.
This is Nicole Sanchez. So the sidewalk widths for the entire plat, for the entire area, were already approved. Is that correct?
This is Maggie Golden. I'll let Mr. Voss jump in if I'm misspeaking, but there is a previously approved EPC site plan that, according to the applicant, does show the 4 foot, was approved with the 4 foot sidewalks. And the generally, and this is where things, I think we've had this issue with other things with timing. So generally the plat would match that site plan. We have standards that have changed.
The DPM increased the sidewalk width to 5 feet. That is applicable today.
This is Nicole Sanchez. If this is considered to be a new application, it would be reviewed under the current standards. It sounds like maybe this is an issue we need to research further, and maybe we can't provide a complete answer right now. But if DRB considers this to be a new application and the previous approvals are not applicable regarding sidewalks, then we would be reviewing under current standards. But I'll leave that to determine, interpret.
Okay, this is Chair Wolfley. I think that's the most conservative and clear compliant path. Let me just.
This is Michael Voss again, and just point out again, with an approved site plan, section 110 of the IDO talks about prior approvals and that development standards, and I guess would supersede those so this is a new plat application, but we are following a site plan that was approved, and it was approved by the DRB and not the EPC originally under the Trails Sector Development Plan, but site plan, in my opinion, the development standards that are shown on that approved site plan, which is I think still valid for 3 more years, would supersede any other updated standards.
Mr. Voss, do you actually have access to that site plan that you could bring
up?
Yes. Because I think that's an important piece of it. And if we can actually see it and see what it says about the sidewalks and the roadway widths.
Yeah, if I can be allowed to share my screen.
We will do that.
There, this is Michael Voss, so still don't have control of the screen yet. If someone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sorry, I was leaving that to Ms. Gold. I was trying to look at the notice requirements for a DRB waiver for you while we were waiting.
So this is Michael Voss. I've now shared the approved DRB approved site development plan. It was, like I said, it was originally approved prior to the IDO under the sector development plan. We did do a major amendment, which revised lot layouts in 2019. So that's the signature block. And you can see within the subdivision that we have 47-foot right-of-ways and 4-foot.
Go ahead and zoom in a little bit more because We're just seeing this on our little screen. So, okay. Okay, 47 foot right of way for certain streets, 52 for other, but you're saying that, why don't you go a little to the west or north, I guess it would be, so that we're in unit 5 and see what it says for those rights of way and just confirming.
Yeah,
or maybe so it doesn't say there. So the 40.
Yeah, so this is Michael Voss. The unit 5 does not appear to have dimensions within it, but it's a continuation of those roadways to the southeast, which are dimensioned.
Okay. And those dimensions match what you are proposing for unit 5, so that unit 4 and unit 5 would have the same width streets.
That is correct.
Which makes complete sense. And let's go, what notes do you have about the sidewalk width?
This is Michael Voss. I don't know if we have any specific notes, but we can look at.
Okay.
So this is Michael Voss. It appears that the dimension within the site plan on the sidewalks is what was provided for the required widths.
Okay, so you're saying that if you were to measure the dimension of the sidewalks, it would be 4 feet, but there's not a specific call out on the site plan for that says that, or is?
There are specific dimensions. Four foot right here.
Okay.
The 4 foot right here where my hand is on both sides of the roadway. Red bloom, 4 foot.
Okay. All right. So Ms. Gould, Ms. Sanchez, it seems that they are in conformance with an existing site plan. So I would think that they're good with the administrative waiver.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Could you please, this is Nicole Sanchez. Could you please ask Mr. Voss to read note 6? I think I saw something regarding internal circulation.
Okay. Mr. Voss, please read note 6.
This is Michael Voss. Note 6. Subdivision lot layouts depicted are for general information only. Exact lot size configuration, quantity, and internal roadway configuration may vary and shall be determined with preliminary and final plats.
Okay, Ms. Sanchez, what does that imply for you?
This is Nicole Sanchez. I would defer to planning or the city engineer regarding whether that would include sidewalk width.
Mr. Biazar?
This is Shahab Biazar. It seems like it does reference more specific details under a roadway, but I mean, the site plan shows a 4 foot sidewalk, and I think my opinion with the administrative waiver, we should be good to go.
Okay. This is Chair Wolfley. Unless you disagree with me, Ms. Gould, I agree with Mr. Biazar that we're good to go on the sidewalk.
This is Maggie Gould. Yes. I think the
administrative waiver covering
that it's shown on there, and there is a note saying those will be decided at during the platting process.
Okay.
I think we're fine as well.
What I like about the note that Ms. Sanchez just brought up is that if you move, can you move Mr. Voss to where lots 15 and 16 are? I think that would give us the openness to look at those lot configurations to maybe improve the rock outcropping protection right there. I think what we just read on that site plan without any amendments gives the ability to relook at that. Okay. All right, Mr. Voss, you're earning your client fees today. Okay, where were we? We were with transportation. So Ms. Wolfenberger, then you're good.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. I have no further comment. I accept this application.
Okay, thank you. And final planning comments?
So this is Maggie Gold. So I think we've actually gone through a lot of what was in here. We just talked about the sidewalk waiver, project and application numbers on the plat. I believe we've discussed the open space trails agreement. We discussed stabilization. We do have a plat superimposed with an aerial to identify those rock outcroppings. We received some extra information from the applicant this morning, and the vacation of the public drainage easement was incorporated into the plat from August 30th, 2020. I am not sure where we are on the infrastructure list. Do we have both the infrastructure lists that we needed? I know Scott just sent a new signed one. And I believe that that separates out what is needed for Unit 5. The only question was, because the infrastructure lists were separated, does the other infrastructure list need to be amended, or has the project been closed out?
So this is Michael Voss, and Scott can specify on the completion of the Unit 4, but as that infrastructure list was tied to the previous plat, it expired with that plat.
Right.
And so from a validity standpoint, that prior infrastructure list cannot be used to apply to DRC and proceed with anything. So,
right. The question more was, and maybe I read these wrong, I thought that this infrastructure list had also been tied to the previously approved infrastructure list. And if that's not the case, then we're all good. Not the previously approved expired infrastructure list, but the previously approved infrastructure list for the previously constructed unit.
This is Scott Steffen. So we had phase, when we came in with the original preliminary plat for Via Prado units 4 and 5, we had a phased infrastructure list.
The
unit 4 infrastructure that was on that infrastructure list completed and accepted by the city DRC, and they are processing the paperwork to release the IIA and financial guarantee.
Okay.
As we speak.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I have a question too about the final plats, because I received two separate final plats this morning, one from Michael Voss and one from Scott. And I just want to make sure that the one with the project numbers that you sent, Scott, that I'm showing you right now is the latest and greatest final plat.
This is Scott Steffen. That is the latest and greatest. I think the one Michael sent was a previous version that didn't have the project application numbers on
it. Yeah, just wanted to make sure. Thanks.
Okay, so we need, Ms. Gould, on this, we need a recorded IIA, correct?
Before final sign off.
And the DXF file approval email from agency.
Okay.
Mr. Stefan, just one other comment on this is that when you are major public open space, the walls for your subdivision that are along the major public open space are required to have the top portion as view fencing. And what this tends to do is to open up the subdivision to the open space. More people can see it. And by having more eyes on the open space, it tends to get, if you will, you know, owned by the people that live there and not just turned into a place where people dump trash or do other things. There just becomes a little bit more relationship between the subdivision and the open space. And I think both things do better over the long run. So that's not a requirement when you have private open space like this, but it's something that I would highly encourage you to consider is some amount of view fencing, even if it's a foot or two along the top of any walls along that open space tract. I think it will, I think there's only things to be gained by doing that and nothing to be lost. So, all right. And then also, once again, you just noticed that APS is concerned about the numbers of students added, particularly elementary students, would be of concern for Tier Antigua School. Okay.
This is Michael Voss, Madam Chair. Just to respond quickly to your comment about the view fencing, that is another item that was addressed in the approved site plan. And so the fencing along that open space will have view fencing at the top of it.
Oh, excellent. Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, I think we're ready for looking at a vote on this. What we want to make sure, I think, Ms. Sommerfeld, is that you articulate a finding with regard to the trail, as we've been discussing this morning. And then I will have some delegation items, and one will be to include a review of lot 16 and tract F and their geometry to see if we can improve the rock outcropping conditions. So just for those to be expected. And all right, is there anything else that I've overlooked that some member of our staff or the city engineer wants to bring up? Okay. Mr. Biazar, nothing? Okay, thank you.
Nothing, yeah.
Nice to see your head shaking. No, all right. I will ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the applications for preliminary plat, final plat, and temporary deferral of sidewalk. If you're accepting delegation, please summarize that delegation and the time needed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. I vote for approval of all three items included in agenda item number one. Thank you.
It's Montano, code enforcement. I approve.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with the Parks and Recreation Department. I approve with delegation to planning department to add a finding regarding the future construction of the trail and the once the adjacent property is developed. And I can send the wording of that finding to the planning department. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Renee.
Okay.
I think, Ms. Sommerfeld, we kind of need to articulate that finding as best we can. Now we can wordsmith it a little bit, but I think the finding would be the future construction of a trail through open space to covering the distance or covering the perimeter with tract four.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I'd like to put the reference plans into the finding. So I'm thinking okay. It would be something similar to the comment. So I would say, you know, pursuant to the MTP 2040 Bikeways and Trails Facilities Plan and the Volcano Trail Sector Plan, a multi-purpose trail is expected to be constructed in the adjacent private open space with the further development of the adjacent lot of the same owner or something like that.
Yeah, and just what I want to clarify is that we're talking about tract four for its entire distance and not just the portion that is unit five, which is much less. So I see Mr. Voss shaking his head in agreement that that's okay. All right, thank you, sir. Okay, now Ms. Brissett.
Yeah. Renee Brissett, Hydrology, we approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve all three items. Thank you.
And Ms. Wolfenberger, would you note for the record your administrative waivers that are being approved?
Yes, the administrative waiver concerning the sidewalk width and the right-of-way width has been approved for this application.
Okay, and this is Jolene Woofley, DRB Chair. I approve with delegation for the AGIS DXF file, the Recorded Infrastructure Improvements Agreement, a note to be added on the plat regarding these two administrative waivers for right-of-way and sidewalk widths to match Valle Prado Unit 4. And finally, delegation for a review of lots 15 and 16 and tract F to see if a reconfiguration would improve protection of the rock outcropping. And I think, did I cover everything, Ms. Gould?
This is Maggie Gould, I believe so. And do we have the application number and the project number on the plat?
This is Jim Rudenbeck. Yes, they do.
Okay, perfect.
They do. Okay, there is a consensus vote to approve item one, PR 2018-1991, and projects SD 2021-118 preliminary plat, SD 2021-119 final plat, VA 2021-235 temporary deferral of sidewalk, and the infrastructure list dated today because the application meets all the applicable requirements of the IDO and DPM with delegation to Parks and Recreation and planning for 12 weeks to address the issues just stated.
Thank you so much.
And Mr. Voss, you understand the IDO is requiring that we put any waivers on the plats or site plans, so that's where that's coming from. Okay.
This is Scott Steffen. Will you provide the exact language we need to put on regarding the waiver?
Yeah, we can provide that. Yeah. I bet Mr. Voss can provide that too.
Yeah, this is Michael Voss, but I can work with Scott and make sure we get that language on the plat.
Okay.
This is Scott Steffen. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, and it should just note the exact width of the right-of-way and the exact width of the sidewalk just for complete clarity into the future. And that way, when you go down for building permits, it's all there clearly for them to process. And off you go. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you're willing to get into the nitty gritty, but I think this will bring out about a really good project there. So thank you.
Thank you. Bye.